Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Chapter 31 and verse 1. Now you will see this out of Deuteronomy, but you will also notice that is also echoed in the book of Joshua, or echoed later in Scripture. And so we're going to be talking about this, and it's amazing what happens. There, if Brother Vernon, somebody could help us with the door. We have some guests that are still trying to get in. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 1, if you found it, shout praise the Lord. And it says, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord has said. Verse 4, and the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them of before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Look at verse 6. Be strong. Everybody say, be strong. And of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does goeth with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now look what happens. Something happens from verse 6 to verse 7. Moses is addressing the entire Hebrew children, and then all of a sudden he looks to one person, and Moses called unto Joshua in verse 7 and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong, everybody say strong, and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that does go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. This morning we're going to be talking to you about the thought of transition. Transition. If you'll take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity, and just ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. And we're so thankful for this privilege to stand behind this sacred desk and to preach your infallible word. We ask that it will go forth in power and in demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful that you're here. Continue to lead and guide and direct us. Bring all things back to remembrance. Whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written, give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church. And when we leave this place, we will bear much fruit and continue to operate in your gifts. So we give you all the glory and all the honor in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to say this because it's been about 3 weeks, maybe almost a month, that the Holy Spirit has spoke to me during my prayer time, and then he just continues to confirm it over and over again, almost every other day I'm hearing what the Lord is saying. But I truly believe this, and I'm not trying to become sensational about this or hyper spiritual or just tell you all these things that make you feel good, but I truly believe God is opening new doors. I truly believe that. I believe that new doors are opening for us and for your life and for the church. But this is the question, though, that I want you to consider. It's a question that I think that we all should think about. Are you prepared for those new doors? I find it kind of humorous. I'm just thinking about this. I follow woodworking. I like to do some woodworking, and I'm not very good at it, but I like to do it here and there. I've got the tools to do it, but I follow this specific page on woodworking, and it seemed like there were 3 or 4 just yesterday of people needing help how to fit a door inside of this door frame. And it was funny, the comments that they were saying, well, you need to build a frame where doors can fit, and someone's had other suggestions that you should do. But I really believe that what the Lord is saying to us is, yes, doors are opening, but are you prepared for these doors? And that's something that we need to be thinking about and be considering. And I want to ask you right now, and I said it on my video, but I want to ask you, what has been the greatest transition in your life? What has been the greatest transition in your life that you've ever been a part of? Maybe it was something that you didn't decide, but you were a part of this transition. I was sent to West Plains to pastor, and we had a large number of people at this church, and we had a large number of people on staff. And they one of the very first things they asked me to do was to host a staff meeting. There was about 25 to 30 people in this staff meeting. They asked me, and I'll never forget this. I got up there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you know, you need to ask these people, how many has ever been through pastoral transition? And I asked them that, and you know, there was about half of them that raised their hands. But when they raised their hands, they rose it up fast. And they understood what it means to go through transition collectively. But you think about this thought. What has been the biggest transition in your life personally? Was it getting married? Was that a big, not only is it an adjustment getting married, but it is a transition. Was it maybe it was going through a divorce? I come from a family that my mother has been divorced several times, and I know what it's like to have stepdads, and maybe that was a big transition in your life. Maybe was it the death of a loved one? Maybe that's a transition. Was it even starting a new job? A new job. You've been asked to do something, a new task, a new job, or maybe sent to a different place. Or even children, teenagers that are here today. Is it going to a new school? You moved from Gosnell, you went to Amarillo, and that was a transition. Had to make new friends, you had to adjust to the new teachers and such. Or was it even having your first child? How many can say that was a big transition, having our very first child? Sure, it was. But when you define transition, a transition is simply defined as this. It is a movement from one place to another. It's a change from one place to another. I like the term modulation, simply because I am a musician, and modulation is important in music. It really helps bring the piece together. But we can all agree today, transition can be exciting. It truly can. It can be exciting. It can bring you a new level of hope, a new level of expectancy. You're saying, hey, I'm getting ready to move. I'm getting ready to start college. I'm getting ready to get married. I'm about to have this baby, and I'm painting the room, and I'm getting all that. And it can be so excited. And even at times in our life, it may bring some hope or excitement that you haven't experienced in a long time. You may be up in years, and all of a sudden, something happens in your life, and there's a transition, there's a move, and you're like, all right, I'm ready for a change. I was preaching, when I began preaching, I was just a young man in my early 20s, and the pastor asked me at this small church to come and preach. And I had been attending this church, and so I felt compelled to do something in this very small church, which they were not ready for. And I said, I want to talk to you about newness. And I said, I want to challenge you to do something for me. Before I begin this message, I want you to do something really, it may be really difficult for you to do. And they're looking at me and they're thinking, what is this young man going to do? There's no telling. And I said, I want you to get up right where you're at, and I want you to change your seat. Boy, that didn't go over real well, but it challenged them. Because normally, if somebody comes in and you sit in their seat, which I have done on purpose before, they'll look at you and say, just what do you think you're doing? You're sitting in my seat. It's amazing that people can't even get in the service if they get in your seat, right? And so I challenged them. I said, just change. It was amazing. I said, now let's do this for a while. Let's get out of this same rut that we've been in for so long. So it can be exciting. And again, on the other end of the spectrum, on this term of our thought of transition, Brother Carl, transitions can be very difficult. Especially the sudden, unexpected transitions that you do not see coming. Those can be very difficult. You know, it's one thing to plan for change, but it's another dynamic to not be prepared for change. To not be prepared for it. You know, growing up, there were a few transitions that took place in my life that really troubled me. That really had an impact on me, in my security, in my confidence, even in myself. There was a time, I remember as a young child, I was about, 8 or 9 years old, probably 8 years old. There's a time that we fled our home. I remember that evening, they told us, you need to get your stuff. My Aunt Joyce came, she owned a bar, and she, you know, that will tell you what kind of person she was, because we didn't have a car to drive. She said, John Kerry, let's go, you got to go right now. And I'll never forget her coming in, and I left all my toys behind, I left all my clothes behind. I had my shoes, I had my pants and my shirt, and that's all I had. And I left it, and we went for almost 2 weeks, and we hid out in a motel room from an alcoholic dad that was trying to kill us, literally trying to kill us. The nightmares that I had as a young child, thinking every time somebody knocked on the door, is that him? Is he coming in? Is he going to kill us? Just no child should ever have to go through that kind of thing. There was a time when I was 18, I just had turned 18 years old, and I knew that my stepdad, Frank Seward, where I get my last name from, I knew that he didn't have much time to live. I just graduated high school, I was about to start college, and my stepdad died of pancreatic cancer just a few weeks before I started college. And that was a very difficult time for me. It was a transition. Or I can even talk to you about the time when I was in my early 20s and I began this job with Mark Ring. He was my foreman. And I remember I loved this job. And all I did was stand in one place and in front of a bandsaw, and I cut cedar material and filled up these 50-gallon drums of little cedar pieces. And I'll never forget, I saw the boss come talk to Mark, and Mark just put his head down and shook his head, and I thought, oh, and I looked, and next thing I know, they were all going around telling you, cut your machine off, we've got to have a meeting. And we all met in this open area, and they said, I'm sorry, but this is their last day. We're done. He said, the company is closing its doors, and we're only going to keep a few people on hand, and you just got to go find a new job. And those things are difficult. Those things are difficult. Those transitions, that would have been my last day to ever work there in that place. That place didn't even exist anymore. The building's not even there. And so there are planned transitions and there are unplanned transitions in life. Listen to what Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 says. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Verse 3 says, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And so he just breaks that down. Solomon just breaks that down and says, yeah, there's going to be times. There's different seasons in life and there's different times. But this is what I want to pinpoint. This is the conundrum that people I think we need to really think about this. The conundrum is this. We all face is this. Who decides that it's time for transition? Who is it that decides for it's a time for transition? As a pastor, this is something, you know, when you feel like God's all right, God's, and by the way, God's not done with me yet. I just want to use this as an example. But it's like God says, all right, it's time for you to move. And I'll never forget having this question with Pastor Craig. I was young in the Lord, and I was a youth pastor and only been there for just a few months, and I looked at him and I said, how, because we got on the topic of Brother Crenshaw, and I said, well, how do you know it's time to go? And Brother Craig looked at me and laughed. He said, you tell me, I don't know. And so there is that, even being led of the Holy Spirit, knowing when it's time to leave, knowing when it's time to stay, and understanding this concept. But the question is, who makes that decision? Who decides that it's time for transition? You know, I think sometimes, if we'll be objective about this, there have been times that we've said, I'm done. You've said, for instance, leaving the church, which we're going to be talking about next Sunday. But People who say, well, I'm done. They say, I'm sick of this church, right, Pastor Carl? And I'm done, and they take off. And, you know, they made that decision, but God may have never led them. They did it out of anger. They were emotionally connected, and they got hurt emotionally, and then they disconnected themselves, and they could have been perhaps completely out of the will of God. And so when things or people don't work out the way you hope for, then who's to blame? Right? Who's to blame? When things don't work out the way that you think they should work out, who do you blame? Do we blame God? Do we say, well, God, it's your fault. You sent me here, and now you put me in this position, and things aren't working out the way that I thought they would work out. Now, do we blame ourselves? Do we just look at, oh, man, I'm such a failure. I should have done this. I should have done that. Do we blame others? Oh, it's Susie Q over there. It was her fault. It was because of all that. Or let me just ask you this. Should we even be blaming at all? It's good questions to consider. The truth of the matter is this, and I want to talk to you about this, and I want you to be honest, and I want you to receive this. We're all going through transition. Even as I speak, right now, as I am speaking to you, you are going through transition. You are. Some of you are handling transition rather well. Some of you are like facing it, and you're like, yeah, man, bring it on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do this. And some of you are like, oh, no, not again. And you're not handling it very well. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, but we all, that means everyone, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, look what it says, are changed unto the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So this is happening in your life right now through the Spirit of God. We are being changed. We are going through transition. You know, the year 2020 perhaps was one of the greatest transitions the world ever saw. It's hard to believe that it's been 5 years. But year 2020 was one of the greatest transitions. Other than Noah's flood and other than the world wars, the COVID pandemic was one of the greatest transitions. And we had to learn to adjust, did we not? And we're still learning to adjust through this transition and the effects of this transition. You know, the enhancement and the engagement of computer technology has also brought a massive transition onto this world stage, both economically, and we're going to see it even more economically, but socially, emotionally, and even, am I right, Levi, even politically, computer technology with social media and different things like that has made a great impact on this planet, and it's been transitioned. We're transitioning into another phase. You could call it an artificial intelligence, call it whatever you want to call it. But I will say this, nothing has made more impact upon this world in terms of transition than the person of Jesus Christ. No one has ever made, no system, no person, no thought, nothing has ever made such an impact upon this world than the person of Jesus Christ. The passion and the love for Jesus has caused men to go and turn this world upside down. There were apostles and disciples in the book of Acts that were accused. These are the men that have turned our city upside down, that have turned our world upside down. The passion and the love they had for Christ has made a great impact upon our world. But also I will say that the passion and hate of Jesus has caused men to turn this world inside out. How can one man cause so much transition? How can he cause so much movement? How can he cause so much change? How can he cause so much modulation in this world? How can one man, the name of Jesus, this person, Christ, how can he do such a thing? You know, I'm as a believer, and you are too, but as a believer, I'm encouraged that the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples and also to us, I'm encouraged by these words when it comes to transition, because if you listen to what he says, he is preparing us. Remember, God is preparing us for this door that he has for us. And here Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and it's being recorded, and now we're reading what has been spoken. And he says this to his disciples right before his departure. He says in John 15 and 18, he said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So the next verse proves my point from transition from glory to glory. Listen to what Jesus says next. Verse 19, John 15, he says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That, my friend, is transition. See, this is something that we need to consider, Sister Pam Peters. We are not of this world. We're here. God has gifted us to be here, to be a person, to be in this, and create life and create memories and all these things and produce life and help one another. But this is not our home. It is not our final destination. God is preparing us for the final destination. Transition is coming, and you need to be prepared for it. The good news is this. Brother David, the good news is this. God, in this thought of transition, God has the keys to your door, and all you need to do is gather the strength to enter into that new door. This is what Moses was saying to the Hebrew children before they became the children of Israel. This is what Moses was saying to them, Sister Laura. He was saying, you need to be strong and be of good courage. Just know that I'm with you, that God is with you, just like God was with me, Moses, in these 40 years of wandering around in the desert. The same God that caused manna to fall from heaven is the same God that's going to be with you. Transition, preparation. Let me show you out of the book of Revelation, chapter 3. The angel of the church in Philadelphia write, and by the way, the name Philadelphia means brotherly love. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee, what? An open door, and no man can shut it. For thou, now look what it says. It has a colon there. For thou hast what? Little strength. And has kept my word and has not denied my name. He's saying, but your strength is small in this transition. And I want to help you. I want you to see that you can dip into my word. You can dip into my being. And you can find that in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. And so what God is saying then to us in this time of transition, we're going to have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I will read to you Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 8, but I'm not going to read that. It's quite a bit lengthy. But this is what the Lord is saying. For some of you, transition is coming. For some of you, transition is coming fast. For some of you, transition is coming unexpected. And for some of you, transition is coming, and it's what you have been praying for. It's what you've been hoping for. It has been the years of your sweat, blood, and tears. And you've been praying and fasting and wanting to see this come to pass. And now God is saying it's about to take place in your life. Yet with every transition, whether they are good or bad, long or short, this is the truth. God is with us every step of the way. Sister Janie, God is with us every step of the way. He's with us. Now, if you feel like, well, I love this, Pastor JC, and you're doing a great job, and I'm enjoying this message, but if you feel like you're here and you're saying, you know what, I'm nowhere near transition. I'm fine. I'm nowhere near movement. I'm nowhere near change. I don't see modulation. I'm great where I'm at. Everything's fine where I'm at. Just remember this. Heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one has ever bothered to ask. See, what I'm saying is that, hey, you're fine where you're at. That's great. And if that's how you feel and you're comfortable, great. That's wonderful. But listen, I have a bigger vision than just where I'm at. I want to have the courage to ask God for bigger things in my life. I am not just going to settle and say, oh, we're going to do this and go through this and that's it. No, there's got to be more. And yes, there is more. The entire world is right before you. And God is leading us and He's guiding us. And so ask God for big things. I dare you. I dare you to get out of your comfort zone. I double dog dare you to get out of your comfort zone and say, hey, look, I've been going through the same routine every week, going through the routine. It's getting rather old. I'm getting tired of it. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go and do greater things for God. Let me just give you some encouragement here, because there's promises that God gives us, and you see them in the book of Deuteronomy. There's four promises from God when we travel through transition. Here they are. They'll be on your screen. Number one, God is going before you. God is going before you. That's what's so beautiful about that, is that God, Sister Rebecca, God has already went before you. And congratulations about your new home. That's a transition right there. Congratulations. But God, see, even with that purchase, God went before you before that. And that's what's so beautiful about this. And with the story of Moses taking, you know, the reins and handing them to Joshua, the inhabitants of the promised land, they didn't want any outsiders. Those enemies of Ai and the enemies of Jericho and the enemies that were there, they didn't want anybody coming in on their turf. They didn't want any outsiders. But yet God is already going before them, right? The second generation of Hebrew children would be commissioned to fight against these entrenched occupants with their walled cities. Then that's something, Sister Charlotte, that when we go out and we're going to obey God and we're going to witness to somebody about the love of Christ, it seems that that person is entrenched in their ideology. They're entrenched. They're walled. They're walled cities. They've already defensed. They say, oh, I've been to that church. Or, oh, I've tried to do this and do that. And I've tried to read that Bible. It's confusing. And all. You know, they're already, and God is already going before, because it is the Spirit of God that leads us and speaks to them and begins to stir them, or even the word trouble their heart, and get them ready and begin to cultivate their life, so that when you bring the seed, the hope, the truth, the life into their life, they become a recipient of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, God is going with you. I love it when my wife comes home from school and I've been there all day. I have activity that I do. It's called this pipe cleaners that I've rolled up real tight that Macy has. I roll them up and about this long, and I roll them up real tight where I can just make a noise. And I take that pipe cleaner, Sister Linda, especially when I'm really dizzy and I have to lay down. I take that pipe cleaner, I'm hitting that with it, and all of a sudden my youngest cat, Millie, who's a genius, she comes running in, and get this, she jumps on the armoire right in front of the television and will not move until I take that little pipe cleaner toy and throw it. Have you ever seen a cat retrieve? She retrieves. She'll go, she'll get it, she'll bring it to me, and she'll go, and she'll sound like a little bird. She'll do this weird noise, and I'll take it, and I'll play with her with it, and then I'll throw it again, and she'll go back and get it, okay? It's amazing. But see, God goes with us. He that's what's so beautiful about that. We read that Joshua, now he's the new leader. And Joshua has some big shoes to fill, gigantic shoes to fill. And here you got Moses, he's in charge for 40 years. Now, Joshua, he's got to pick up where Moses left off. But this is what's wonderful. The same God that went with Moses is the same God that goes with Joshua. And guess what? He's the same God that will go with you. Think about that. The same God that stood with Moses in parting the Red Sea. The same God that was angry at Moses for striking that rock twice. And the same God that provided and spoke to Moses on the top of Mount Sinai and wrote the written Torah to Moses. It's that same God who goes with you. I've seen how some of you drive, and you need God to go with you. Can I have an amen? That was your opportunity, fellas. You could say, can I have an amen? Well, you guys are smart. Okay. Number three. I was waiting for Pastor Carl to say something about Mrs. Magoo, but he didn't. Number three. God is not leaving you. He's not leaving you. You know, even in that motel room, when I left my evil Knievel, man, I love that evil Knievel. I left him in a beanbag. I hid him from my older brother because I didn't want my older brother playing. So I took the evil Knievel and stuck him in the beanbag. I left him. But you know what? God never left me. I might have had to surrender all these things that I thought they were important. But you know, God, He'll never leave us. It's our human nature to feel fearful. It's our human nature to feel abandoned. It's our human nature when trouble comes that we feel those ways, when crisis comes in our life. But I'm going to tell you, there's no reason right now to doubt God's presence. He's omnipresent. That means He's with us everywhere. That's what's so wonderful about God. The last one, number four, God will not forsake you. God will not forsake you. I was, they called me Pedro. Jose, you know the story. When I was young, I wanted them to call me Pedro because I was ashamed of being an Indian, Native American Indian, because the stereotype of Native American Indian growing up in Okarchee, Oklahoma, was all the Indians they're good for nothing and all they do is go around and drink. And that was pretty much my family. They were drunk all the time. I had an uncle that died in a fire because he was too drunk to get out of the house. And so I wanted them to call me Pedro. And I'll never forget my bus driver, Mr. Bowman. He was late picking me up, and I had to go. I was getting to go to the Cowboy Hall of Fame in Oklahoma City, and it was for a field trip. And I had my little paper pack, my little paper sack lunch with me, and I was just really excited. And the bus gets there. I walk in, and some of the teachers are looking at me like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I'm here to go on the field trip. And I said, we're sorry. They called me Carrie is what I said. Sorry, Carrie. No, the bus already left 20 minutes ago. And I started getting upset. I was like, oh. And then Ronnie Dean, he was an older boy. Ronnie Dean Kirkendall. He was an older boy. He come up to me and he said, oh, he was a sixth grader. He says, oh, it's okay, Carrie. You could come and hang out with me. It'd be a lot. You're going to have much more fun. And I was like, I'm not really excited about hanging out with Ronnie Dean. I want to go to Cowboy Hall of Fame. My aunt worked at the Cowboy Hall of Fame. I want to go to Cowboy Hall of Fame. I'll never forget this. And I was like, oh, just upset. And all of a sudden, my best friend, his name was Shane, and he had a weird last name, but it was called Strange. It was really, literally his last name. And he came running down. He says, Pedro, Pedro, Pedro. And I'm looking around. He's like, oh, yeah, that's me. And he's like, hey, we come back. And I'm like, what? And the teacher said, you got to go, Carrie. You got to run. And so I ran. I'll never forget this. When I got up those steps and Shannon led me up there, the whole bus, every child on that yellow school bus cheered when I walked in on that bus. And they started cheering and yelling. And I started crying. I started bawling my head off. And Shannon looked at me and goes, why are you crying? And some other kid said, he's crying. I think it was Alan. And Alan said, he's crying because he's so happy. And that's what it was. They left me, but they came back and got me. They never forsake me. And I'm going to tell you, and I'll be honest and transparent before you, there's been times that I felt like God has left me, but He's never forsaken me. He will never leave us. And we may feel like he has, but God will never forsake us. And so Hebrews 13 and 5 and the last part of that verse says, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't God awesome? So let me close this message with this great application. I believe the best way to make true an application of this message. Are you ready for this? Let's stand all in this room. The best way to make this so good to us, true and pure to us, and to understand this important principle is this one thing. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. Don't get lost in transition. Don't get lost in transition. Don't get lost. What do you mean by that? How do I get lost in transition? Number one, I can get lost in transition by not walking in true love. Listen to what the scripture says. 1 John 3 and 14, it says, we know that we have, what's the word? Passed from death unto life. How? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. So that is transition. I know that you truly have passed from death into life. I know that you're a true Christian, a true believer. How do I know that? Because you have love. True, genuine love. Number two, how can I get lost in transition? By number two, by not living in truth. You know what that scripture is? 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, the greatest transition that it will ever take in your life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, everybody say old things. That old cussing person. You guys are laughing. But you cuss all the prophet said to that woman, you got a cuss devil. You cuss. You know, that old person that cheats and lies. Isn't it amazing, Pastor Carl, you tell one lie in Louisiana and you go tell another lie in Arkansas and you go tell another lie. And you just one lie after another. But he says, all things are what? That's a great transition. Passed away. Behold, all things become new. Then the last one, this one's going to hit home. It's going to be difficult, but it's going to help us. By not staying faithful. How do we get lost in transition? By not staying faithful. You will never believe the amount of leaders that I have pastored that gets so far, that goes through so much disconnect simply because they didn't come to church. I had a fellow. And I'll never forget. This happened a number of times. Am I right, Pastor Crystal? This happened a number of times. Had a fellow got mad. He was off working, and the church is moving forward, and he was all for it. Yeah. And our church financially was growing and was doing great. And then when he come back, he saw that the church was moving forward without him. And here he is, the pillar of the church, and he's all mad because just unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness, and that causes disconnect. It truly does. Not only does it cause disconnect with you in the body of Christ, it causes a disconnect between you and God. Can God trust you? You know, I would tell you, the Proverbs tells us, confidence in an unfaithful man is like a foot out of joint or tooth or broken tooth. That's the word. I didn't write that. And so God is calling us to be faithful. Look what its scripture is. 2 Corinthians 4 and 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's not on the screen, but this is worth repeating. It worth exposing. Jesus, when he, you know, when we're home before heaven and Jesus is standing there, he will ask us, he will say to us, you know, why should I let you in? And we'll say, well, because I believe in God and all this. And that's a great. But then Matthew 7 and 21 actually paints a different light. Because he says, in the last days there will be many that say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? Lord, Lord, have I not cast out devils in thy name? Lord, Lord, have I not done this and done that? And Jesus says, depart from me, for I never knew you. And he uses the word of unfaithfulness. My Lord, I want to be faithful. That I don't want to get lost in transition. I want to walk in love. I want to be truthful, be honest, walk in truth. And I want to be faithful. And that's going to help me and give me the strength to go through the doors that God has called me to go through. Bow your heads and your hearts with me this morning. Father, we love you. We're so thankful today. We are determined this morning to be prepared for transition because we know transition is coming. And we want to be prepared for it in every area of our life. It's one thing to put money back and to save money in case there's a fall in the markets. It's one thing, Father, to take enough vitamin C every day and to prepare physically and to stay healthy. The most important transition, Lord, that's so important is our soul, is our life, truth, love, faithfulness. And Father, if we're missing in any of those places, ask you to forgive us, to wash us and cleanse us, because we can't do this ourselves. We need the grace and the mercy of God to give us the strength, to help us make the right decisions, say the right things, do the right things, and be ready, Father, for whatever you have for us. You may be here this morning and you say, Pastor JC, I'm good. Maybe God is challenging you to ask for big things. Maybe he's challenging you to move out of your comfort zone, to be like Peter and get out of the boat, to do the impossible. Whatever the case may be, I will tell you this, God is calling us and he's challenging us in Jesus' name. I'm going to do something. I want, I know the cameras aren't working, Brother Vernon, and I have no idea why they're not working. But if I could get Brother Vernon and Brother David and Brother Pastor Carl, I want to get some anointing oil. And if you will, I want you to go back there and I want you to pray with Janie and her family. And I want you to take that tissue and anoint it. And I want Sister Janie to take that home to Roy. Who believes in the power of prayer? And I want God to move and to minister. If you guys will take that anointing oil and tissue and go back there and pray, I appreciate that so much. And while they're praying, you're here and you say, Pastor JC, that's me. I'm going through transition. And I want God's strength. If that's you, just hold your hand up. That's me. I'm going through transition. I want God to give me strength. I'm going to pray with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone in this room. Those that are watching online, I pray, Father, that you will bring us strength, supernatural strength, guidance, and wisdom. I hear the Lord say, wisdom. Bring wisdom, guidance, direction, discretion, understanding, clarity. Speak loud to us, Father. And as we are preparing for the transition, the doors that you have for us, help us, God, to be strong in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I need you more. I need you more. I need you. Let's raise our hands toward heaven. Yea, Varei Kakad and Ivy, yes, and Varei Kah, your art and I, Penav, Alakabi, away, Nakah, your saw, Adonai, Penav, Alakabi, Sam, Lakah, Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you and give you peace. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. If you need to stay, stay and pray. But if you don't, God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.
Information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.